Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name's Anna and I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sequoia, who's here to talk with us about practicing with making masks at the monastery. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Anna. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So here at the monastery, we've been engaged in mask making, and you've been stewarding it beautifully. We've got workstations set up where here's where you add the ties, here's where you fold the pleats. And we got some numbers in this morning, and apparently together, the team at the monastery, together with the Sangha mask making effort, has so far made 369 masks, and probably more since this morning.
Wow.
Which is extraordinary, huh?
It is extraordinary.
Yeah. So that's the wow on the fruits of the mask making. And we'd love to hear what it's been like practicing with making the masks, what you've been seeing around it.
Oh, so many things. Mm. Just like everything done with Sangha. It's just, you know, first of all, it's just the whole mask making project for me was inspired by Sangha and just, you know, a little phone call with some folks and who were already making masks and just feeling very inspired by their contribution and their enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And and just carrying that enthusiasm forward.
So inspired by the contribution and enthusiasm that you saw in other people and then wanting to carry that enthusiasm forward. Mm-hmm. And off you went.
And off we went. And I think one of the things I love, well, there's so many things I love about it, but just like so many things we do, especially here at the monastery, you know, there's an opportunity to say yes and mm-hmm. condition mind. I don't know, at least for me, it just goes into a flap over, well, how can we do that, you know? We don't know how to sew. We don't have, you know, we have one sewing machine that doesn't work all that well. What about materials? What about? And, mm-hmm. you know, to just keep saying yes, mm-hmm. and just with that, actually excitement to know that conditioned mind doesn't have to know how, that mm-hmm. life will provide, and then just to watch what unfolds, and sure enough, mm-hmm. sure enough, it delivered.
Aha! Yeah. So that beautiful receiving of seeing the enthusiasm, projecting that enthusiasm that you saw in the folks making masks, saying yes from that place, and not needing to look to conditioned mind to know how it's going to go, not needing to look to its limitations of what about, how's this going to work, and staying with that yes and letting life unfold it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just, life has so much better, has way bigger and more beautiful skills than the little, you know, this little eye. and to just watch, you know, a sewing machine arrived for us to use, a newer one that actually went back and forward, going backwards and forth. and you know, the my fellow monks were just, you know, just were engaged so 100%. Mm. In the whole process and learning how to sew, and within no time at all, you know, just turning out beautiful, beautiful masks. And, you know, the material, you know, some we had some donated, but then there was just this wonderful experience of finding usefulness for things that were right here in front of us that we had never envisioned being a mask.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, it sounds like seeing the possibility, like opening up and seeing with those eyes of yes, seeing with those eyes of possibility. Like, so yes, we received all this material, and then seeing the possibility for turning other things into masks that we might not have thought of before.
Yes, I mean, actually, when we started out, we didn't have any, I mean, we had no material, and we were in the middle of a pandemic, so, you know, it's not like we could just go out and go shopping. And so we just looked, you know, we just looked around and said, well, what do we have? What do we have that we could fashion a mask from? And that was, it was just so, that was really, really fun and very creative, and just to look with new eyes. Yeah.
To look with new eyes. It's like looking around and asking, is there anybody around here who wants to be part of a mask? And just letting the materials offer themselves, right? Looking through those eyes, as you said.
Yes. You know, there's just so many things that they performed one use in the world, and then they performed another use in the world. And then here's another thing, you know, another transformation that can happen. And the other thing was to just be making masks for people that we knew, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, and it's really easy to feel like, wow, what can I do, you know? And here was something that we could contribute and do it in the spirit of unconditional love, and send it off, and just know everything was going to reach the people that it needed to reach, and that, you know, we had just done our part by making it, and then other people took them, and other people distributed them, and yeah, just again that whole Sangha effort.
Yeah. Oh, just total chills. That's my experience too. That Sangha effort of getting to play our part and making the contribution that we can make, and then sending off those masks. And as you said, getting to practice making them in the spirit of unconditional love, right? So truly practicing with it all. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, that was one of the things I just felt so excited about in the beginning. You know, it just, like, in a time when it felt like there was just, just a lot going on for folks, and their lives are changing. To be able to make a small thing in love and just send that out is a contribution to all. I found that just really heart opening, and I enjoyed that part of the process as well as the creative process, as well as all of it.
Yeah, me too. To be able to make a small thing in love and then send it out. And so many beautiful masks sent out.
I said, you know, I know I said a small thing, and it was small in size, but it was not a small thing.
To
make a big contribution, small in size, but yeah.
Yeah, small and beautifully formed masks, and no small contribution, and no small amount of effort and willingness and care that went into them, as you said.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, every time I walk by, I'm going to miss it one day when that goes away, but every time I walk by that whole sewing station and see the manifestation of people's dedication and again, love, you know, just like, wow, yesterday there was like maybe 3 masks there. Today, look at that, and they're so beautifully made, and they're just sitting there, and it's just a delight to just be in the company of that contribution.
A delight to be in the company of that contribution. And I just got such a felt sense of what it's like to be practicing in this way in the privileged environment, right? So you said you walk past and there's a pile of 3 masks, and then you come back and, oh, there's 19 masks, right? And there's no there's no kind of personality in it, right? No ego,
absolutely.
I, me, mine. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody playing their part.
Yes. I mean, that's just the fun part, just no personality. And it's like, I turned my back and life just made, you know, 25 more masks through the hands and, you know, eyes and ears and all of it of, yeah, of some great folks.
Yeah, truly the joy of being instruments, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Instruments for life.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sequoia. I see you're at the top of the hour. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, other than, you know, it just, wow. Once again, just learning the joy of saying yes and leaving the rest of it up to life. There's just, there's just nothing else better than that.
Yeah, truly nothing else better than that. And thank you for being with us, and thank you for your stewardship of our mask-making team.
Thanks,
it's been fabulous. Okay, thank you, Sequoia. And we'll turn the show over to Michael.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Sequoia. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
I love that conversation.
So fun. You know, there's quite a few things about it. One, Sequoia was very modest when she said, you know, none of us knows how to sew. Because the reality is she taught quite a few complete novices how to sew through that process. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's funny because for me it was sort of, I'd always wanted to, it's like so many things in this time, I'd always wanted to learn to sew, but of course the voices are never, I mean, there's way too many other things to do, right?
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
So then suddenly it gets bumped to, actually, this is the top priority, to learn to sew. And
uh-huh.
So there we were, learning to sew, and Sequoia was incredibly patient with us. Just, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's exciting. That's exciting. And I was just reflecting, she said, make a small thing in love and then send it out. And then I just thought, you know, there's no way to make a small thing in love. Everything we make in love is enormous. It's tremendous.
Enormous. It is.
So beautiful.
Yeah. And that piece about, you know, just say yes. And all right.
Yes.
We have such a small part to play, right? That's our only part. Yes. And then we just... life unfolds the rest.
Mm-hmm. It makes it very easy, if that's my only role.
Very relaxing.
To say yes.
Very fun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the other thing I was thinking as Sequoia was talking about it was when she was talking about just the materials that are there. And what's so fun about that is to see the masks that life creates. It reminds me of, you know, when we have leftovers nights at the monastery.
Mm.
I, sometimes, honestly, we have my favorite casseroles ever. Because it's just what life puts together, right? There's just this and this and this. And you could never, you never have planned it, right? And it was
yes.
The same thing with these masks, Michael. They were adorable, right? They would have green on one side and blue on the other. And then the little ties to hold the thing would sort of be a flower pattern. And then the tie itself would be a pink. And the
wow.
So cute.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's precious.
Yeah. So... deep gratitude for all of it.
Yes, yes, yes. I heard that in their conversation.
Mm.
And I have announcements here.
Great.
We cannot usually see the process we're in when we're in it, so having a mirror is of great assistance. If you are in need of clarity around some challenging content in your life, an upcoming Socratic email class with Sherry is just the thing. Participants will choose their focus for the class and will have 6 interactions with Sherry, and the class begins June 8th.
I absolutely love that. Exactly what that points at, that we can't see the process that we're in, and it's so thrilling to suddenly get a glimpse of it.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, it's one of my favorite things in practice. And so mm-hmm. The email classes are brilliant for that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they are. And join us next Sunday, June 7th, for a virtual compassionate scheduling workshop exploring how we're bamboozled into living our lives on ego's schedule. The workshop will look at ways to create structures that support the human being in dancing to life's rhythms. The workshop is free of charge, but registration by noon, Friday, June 5th, is required.
You know, one of the things, I don't know about other people, Michael, that I'm so looking forward to about that is that since we did that workshop, whenever that was, some months back, I've seen so much about it. And I just feel like a whole different person. Of course, we always are, as Sherry always says. And so I'm so looking forward to walking through that process now with where I am now. Can't wait.
Yes, yes, yes. And I know my schedule has been upended by world events over the past several months. So, yeah,
well, that's
it's
going to
be very timely.
That's such a good point. Like everyone who made those schedules at that point, probably much of it is moot now. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yes. And in stressful times, we can turn to practice for support. And one of the most compassionate tools we have is recording and listening. A new six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. The new class is on Thursdays, starting June 18th.
Fun. Love that class.
Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our longest-lived and most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter starts July 15th.
That's so fun. That's amazing how quickly that comes up.
Yes, yes. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program starting July 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training.
Okay, well, we're both going to practice restraint and religious observance on that one, right, Michael? I know we could say a ton about that, but I'll tell you what, we'll promise to have a good news update on it soon because I think we really want to let people who have not done it yet in on the magic of that. So, yeah.
Yes, I will just reflect the magic. So thank you for that, and I will restrain myself from further. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. I think we're almost ready to start. If you'd like to talk with Jen today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Jen, you ready?
Ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna from Seattle.
Hey, Anna.
Hi.
Hey.
I didn't expect to get on as the first caller. let's see. That was really... Well, I'm really inspired just by, you know, how all of you are making all these masks and just said yes to life. And it seems so so great to be able to just say yes.
Yeah, it is so great. And so great to feel that inspiration as we hear about what other folks are doing. Even if we're not directly participating in that exact thing, to just get to experience that inspiration inside of ourselves.
Yeah. It feels like my body is kind of like flooded a little bit with, you know, fear hormones and stuff. Just because I've made a big step of like ending the nanny work. I'm still going to work there for 3 weeks, but I've been a nanny forever. I mean, that's pretty much what I've been doing my whole, you know, adult life at work. And I don't know, finally, like, I kind of got pushed to a point where it seems like that's what, I'm pretty stagnant for a long time, and then life pushes me, to something so that I finally need to make a change.
Uh-huh.
That's what it felt like. Even though it wasn't a way, I feel kind of self-conscious about it, but it was kind of triggered by a three-year-old. But it triggered me so much, for several weeks. It's really a little bit embarrassing.
Well, it says the voice.
But the thing that triggered me so much and was so painful to me is that, and it all sounds silly because it includes the three-year-old, but just on a process level.
Can I just stop you for one second right there, Anna? Yeah. Because first of all, I project there's sort of parallel tracks happening, right? One where you're actually seeing the gift in this, right? That you feel like there's a pattern where maybe you go through periods of time where you realize you're stagnant in your life, but it's difficult. I mean, I project that's true for many of us. It's difficult to sort of choose, if you will, to move out of it. But then something happens that actually facilitates, well, now I have to move out of it. So those things almost become a gift in a way, right? And so this one came in the package of a three-year-old, and now the voice wants to come in to say, well, that's embarrassing that it has to do with a three-year-old, because, well, whatever it has to say about that.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's important, but just the thing, the little kid, he feels like a lot. So what I'm projecting is that he is projecting a lot of anger and hostility onto me, and then it actually has nothing to do with me, but I think it has to do with the family dynamics.
Sure.
And what's so painful to me is that the parent, that nobody, when he would just really act out and say really, bad things and just have that energy of hostility towards me. And I realize it sounds silly because he's just three. But that nobody else would say, don't talk to her like that. And that really reminds me just of the whole process, becoming more and more conscious in the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and just that nobody, so that someone's reminding me of that a little bit. I don't know why.
It's reminding you of, say that part again, Anna.
I don't know if it makes sense, but that's what it reminds me of, that I was so hurt by.
Anna, let me just back up one sec. I missed the piece of, I got the context that there's basically a three-year-old child who's saying, sounds like inappropriate things, sounds like it displaying a lot of anger, and that seems like maybe that's coming from the family dynamic, and there's no one stepping in to say, no, that's not okay, you can't talk that way. And you said that's reminding you of, and I missed that piece, what it was reminding you of.
Just about the white privilege and white people not stepping up.
Got it.
I
see.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that there's no one there. Yeah, that there's no one there to say, okay, perhaps you feel that way, and it's perfectly fine. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, but it's not okay to act that way. It's not okay to interact with someone else in that way. Yeah, I see that connection. Absolutely.
Kind of protecting, protecting the people that are being bullied against. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
I'm just feeling on a very micro, personal level, that has nothing to do with race for me, that that's what it was just reminding me of, and feeling how painful it feels,
And Anna, does it feel like through the experience that there's been the ability for kind of a mentoring presence to be with Anna through it? Because it sounds like, well, first of all, there's the voice that's not at all helpful, that's saying, oh my God, I mean, it's a three-year-old child. You clearly shouldn't feel this way. You should, I don't know, whatever it would say. You should be able to, transcend this and be better than that, or whatever it would say. But does it feel like there's a sense of a mentoring presence who acknowledges that it is hard for her and it does trigger things and is able to be there with her through it?
Yeah. It was a little hard because my whole body is in such a fear state from making that decision. But, I did make a two-handed recording today, and, you know,
good.
I'm just doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I have no idea yet what work exactly. I don't want to be a nanny anymore, even though I love kids and everything. But I just want to do something else, you know, get into another role. So I am kind of getting into another role just like a few hours a week, and I'm really afraid of doing it because I have the voices of saying you're not capable, you know.
Yeah.
You're not capable of doing anything else than being a nanny.
How incredibly cruel, right?
Mm-hmm.
How incredibly cruel that right when a person is making a transition that it sounds like she's been feeling for some time like she wanted to make, it's bringing up a ton of fear for her. Right? And then the voice says, oh, you can't do it. You're not adequate to that. You'll never, which is the exact opposite of what she needs, right? She needs that person who just loves her like crazy, no matter what, and is going to be there through it and understands that, of course, it's going to bring up fear for her. It's very likely going to kick up the voices. They're going to want to take advantage of the situation, you know, sort of the kicker when she's down kind of thing. So, yes, the two-handed recording is a perfect place, it sounds like, to turn to regularly on many, many levels, right? Talking about, okay, I don't really know what I want to do. Well, let's talk about that. Or, oh, my gosh, there's so much fear about this new thing. Okay, well, let's check in about that. Staying really, really close, it sounds like.
Hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
no,
I really
go ahead,
Anna.
Yeah.
You go.
No, I was just going to, I feel silly. So I really need to watch my money right now. And I really want to donate for the upcoming workshop on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sorry if I won't.
Isn't that such a perfect place, Anna? Because I don't know if you have a sense of this. Sometimes the voices can obscure our ability to see this. But it's such a clear message, I feel like, that practice sends out, which is if you are in a place where you feel like you have the financial means to donate, great. You know, as Michael always says, we support that which supports us. And if a person isn't in that place, it's completely all right. There's no merit one way or the other. There's no good or bad one way or the other. It's truly just what is. And so that might be another great place to check in to do a two-handed recording, because I project the mentor would be able to see that, would be able to see that there's no shame. There's no reason to feel bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah. And such a time to stick close in all ways, right? Stick close to that recorder, stick close to that mentor, stick close to practice, you know, come on the Sunday workshops, you know, call into the show as you're doing. All the things you're doing just seem exactly on track with what she needs in this really big time of transition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which may also, you know, sort of in the end, Anna, assist her with, it sounds like she's been wanting to make this transition for some time. So there might also be some things that are under that fear that are excited and interested, you know, oh my goodness, this is what we've been wanting to do for quite some time. Now we're getting to do it.
Yeah, actually, the woman I'm, you know, going to do some part-time work for, I'm really excited about. She's like one of the most authentic people I know, and she actually is my matchmaker. Like intuitive Irene. I mean, she's awesome. She's one of my favorite people. So I'm really happy that, you know, I'm not afraid. I know I can be authentic and say I'm afraid right now. You know, I can basically talk with her like in this practice. You know?
Fabulous.
I know. Yeah.
That's so great. And that gives the mentor such a great tool to assist Anna. So in those times where the voices are really getting her, like, no, you can't do this, it's too scary, it's too hard, hey, tell me about the person we're going to be working with. Remind me, oh yeah, tell me all the things you love about her. That's such a great way to assist the Anna who's going to get barraged by those voices to help her turn her attention to what she loves about this transition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am really excited. And then just, you know, it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's so funny, isn't it, Anna? Because if wherever our attention is, that's what the experience is, and it's just flip flop, flip flop, flip flop, flip flop, just back and forth so quickly. So it's such a perfect opportunity to practice keeping the attention where you want it to be.
Yes. Great. And yeah, I have all these great recordings also from last.
Mm.
The last letter and the thank you recording from last week.
Yeah. Oh, great! Excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good. Well, and I hope you will keep letting us know. We're all on the journey with you.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. I won't
thank
give
you.
Up. No.
Good.
No.
Good.
I'll keep
all
going.
Right. Thanks,
Fine.
Anna. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And Jen, what dropped in is how great it is to have all of these tools as we transition, as we go through life.
Oh, yeah.
We have recordings, we have a radio show, we have workshops, we have a mentor.
Yeah. Couldn't do it without them. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, my name is Julian, and I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, hi, Julian.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm so grateful to be on. This is my first time being on this, and I guess I'm a part of the year. Thank you. I'm a part of the year-long retreat. And I've been, I guess what I wanted to talk about and I am seeking guidance with is very much in relation to the current temperament, you know, of everything in the country and especially living in Brooklyn right now, you know, it's particularly interesting. We have, you know, cars on fire on our street, you know, things like that. So. I've been doing so much work with working with two-handed recording and the mentor, and I guess what I find so interesting is that it completely has been guiding me. It's been keeping me present. And then yesterday I had a moment of great clarity with it, and then like a semi-truck hit me. It was like being slammed into a very depressed state or a dark room, like Sherry says, you know.
And
one of the themes that comes up is I think that, you know, how can you be happy if other people aren't? And that's kind of a karmic thing I've been looking at for a while. But yeah, isn't that that's the blaring one.
Yeah. That's kind of a foundational one that you see when you really look at all of it, that one comes up. How could you be happy when other people are not, when there's so much suffering happening?
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. I record about it. You said that so beautifully and so succinctly. That's it. It's you know, as a white male living in this city and of privilege and all these things, there are these moments of extreme clarity where I say, God, that is textbook conditioning, and I have the power to turn my attention away from it towards the present moment, within which I find myself feeling grateful and helpful and active and just like there, right? And then the body slam comes where I'm completely paralyzed, and I can't say I've ever felt such an extreme up and down in my life.
And Julian, have you been around long enough to hear folks talk about that and realize that that's really, really common?
Please. No.
Well, just the piece of when there's that level of clarity, yeah. and expansion, a very, it's a beautiful place for the human being and a very dangerous place for the voices because they're incredibly exposed. Well, they don't really, as Sherry talks about, they no longer have your attention when you're present in that way. And the only way they exist is with your attention. And so often some big, I mean, that semi truck is such a good illustration of it. It's got to come in with everything it's got to try right. to get your attention back to a small, dark place.
Wow. That's that, you know, that, God, that's helpful. I have a dear friend who's in the, has been in the training for years, and she's told me that and said, you know, this is the, you know, what is going deeper, faring worse. I'm aware of that, but it's so interesting how the content right now is, oh God, it's just particularly, I guess what's particularly interesting is, like, as someone who doesn't typically read the news in a consistent way, because it's, I kind of see it for what it is a lot, I find myself needing to check to know if our neighborhood is under siege.
Yeah.
You know, I have to, and then I'm kind of, the fight or flight reflex is so real. So my question for you would be, well, first of all, to acknowledge, thank you for that reminder that that's an indication mm-hmm. of progressing. And then mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. question is, just to hear you speak to that notion of one's well-being helping others, or, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, mm-hmm. I don't even know how to frame the conversation because mm-hmm. I don't want to be naive about it either. So,
well, a couple of things occur to me, Julian. One is something that you said very clearly, and so I hope you'll listen back to this recording because you articulated it perfectly, which is, at least if I tracked the way you were describing it, mm-hmm. that when you had that clarity, when there was mm-hmm. that openness, that seeing, you talked about a sense of, I can't remember exactly what words you used, but I think you even used something like, you know, helpful, available,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
So, and then in that other place, that isn't the experience, right? We tend
right.
to feel afraid and close down and,
right.
you know, got to protect me. And and that's such a clear illustration of those two places, isn't it?
Yeah, my God. I can't believe I said it. I didn't even know. Yeah, it's that's how polarizing it. That's how polarizing it is.
It truly is. And so when we're shut down in that way, if there were some way we could be of assistance, if there were some way we could participate with that goodness that we know is, we wouldn't be available to hear that. We wouldn't. It wouldn't occur to us. We wouldn't even want to do it. Right? Because
right.
it feels like, oh God, I got to protect me.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. You're so right. What occurs to me as you say that, I mean, instantly, just even having an opportunity to talk with you is there's such a sense of energy that comes with it, which is
yeah.
imperative right
yeah.
now. You know, it's the,
yes, exactly.
the spring in the step to even move forward. So God, yeah, thank you for reflecting that and the encouragement.
And Julian,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one more thing before you go. Because you're part of the year-long retreat, I don't know, did you hear the show this morning?
I did. Yes, I did. It was incredible. And I was unmuted and then immediately muted because I think there was a glitch with the cue. But I was, God, I was on the edge of my seat for today. But what were you speaking to specifically about?
Well, just that I feel like Sherry eloquently spoke to, because someone was calling in with something, you know, relatively similar to what you're pointing at. You know, what's going on in the world and, you know, how difficult that is. And that place that she pointed at, that, you know, when we're in conditioned mind, we're not available to life, to be here, to be, you know, however you want to say that. It gets so tricky because to say things like to serve, that can so easily get taken over. But that is a word we could use for it. And yet, when we get it, that bringing all of our attention to the present, I mean, that's truly what brought me to practice, is realizing that the most revolutionary thing I could do, the greatest act of love and courage, would be to train to have my attention always in the present moment.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's heavy. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, and it takes a lot. It's not easy.
Well,
and in times go ahead.
Well, forgive me. I was just saying there's a component to it that I think is especially rich right now, which is when you, if you take a traditional step forward towards saying what can be done, how can I help? The message that I see a lot is, well, do more. And there's your self-worth is predicated on what you've done. And if you haven't done anything, well, goodness, you're just terrible, you know? What you're saying about that commitment to disidentifying with it as a bold statement or way of being available, that penetrates through everything that I'm talking about. I appreciate that. Really
do. That's so big, Julian. As you were saying that, I was just picturing, you know, so many of our heroes, the way, you know, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, the way it's depicted, they never responded to urgency. Right? So there's just that sense of, I don't know. I'm going to get quiet here and see what life has to say.
That is such a good point. That gives me, when you say it, I get chills, and I know it's true.
From our own experience,
Right. Yeah. My goodness, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you, Julian. Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, truly. Have a good night. Yeah, you be safe.
You too. Yeah, exactly. You too.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Julian. And Jen, it is extraordinary that being present is the biggest gift that we can offer. It's amazing.
It is.
And it's inspiring to have something that I can train to in every moment. It's simple. It's direct. I can learn how it happens or it doesn't happen and train with that.
And it truly, this is my experience, it truly is extraordinary to get to a place where we can train to do that. I mean, Anna pointed at it too, you know, when things are really shaking, whether in like sort of a global sense or in my particular life or where we're supposed to get essentially turned to conditioned mind. I mean, this is big, this is important, this is real, this is, you know, whatever it is. But to have to be at a place in our training where it's available to us to practice, to be here, to be still, to be present, to listen to, which doesn't mean anything in particular. I mean, it truly is to be still and to listen. And that, you know, in that listening might be a, hey, you know, we can participate in this way, or, you know, we can make masks, right? I mean, who knows what's going to arise.
Yes.
But the training, the ability to do that is extraordinary.
Yeah, it strikes me, that, as Sherry always says, okay, you know, where are my feet? are my hands? What am I, you know, what is here for me in this moment to attend to? And that's what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jen, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Okay, great.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have more callers in the queue here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Anne from England.
Hi, Anne.
Hi. This is my first time calling the show in 2 years.
Welcome.
It's been a long time.
Lovely to hear your voice.
Thank you. Lovely to hear your voice, too. So, what I'm looking at is what the voices have managed to, the control the voices have had over me in the last 2 years. I'll be honest, guys, I haven't practiced. Today is my first day practicing in 2 years.
Mm. Wow.
And it's really hard. It's really hard to say it. And part ego wants me to feel ashamed and to feel that I'm not part of the Sangha anymore.
Are you using Harry's favorite term for that?
Pardon?
You know which one I'm talking about? The horse bucket.
Sorry. The horse bucket.
Right. And just one other, you know, small but actually not at all small thing is, actually, if you truly hadn't been practicing, if there had been no practicing happening at all during that time, you wouldn't be calling into the show. Do you know what I mean by that?
Kind of.
So I think the voices would say, just like they do with everything, everything is a doing. You know, just like Julian was just saying, I mean, if there's a crisis, if there's an emergency, you got to start doing something, and you better prove that you're one of the people doing something. In that same way, practice becomes a doing. So if you're not calling into the radio show, if you're not, you know, blah, 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 then you're not doing practice. And yet, here you are calling into the show. So on some level, that awareness has remained, and something brought you back and has you calling into the show today.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just woke up this morning and thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't be so isolated. And the thing is, the reason it happened, I think, in the first place is I was changing things in my life and was maybe getting too close to whatever, and ego didn't like it, and I it's kind of hard to understand how it happened, because my practice was very good at the time, very strong at the time, I should say, and I had lots of support, but somehow it just got me to put the covers over my head and not want to look at what was happening.
Well, too bad for it. It failed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Anne, it's so amazing because it's not dissimilar from what we were looking at with Julian. So there you have this robust practice, right? You've got all the support. You're really practicing. You're seeing things you were never meant to see, right? I mean, talk about the covers being pulled back. The covers are being pulled back on ego. And so no wonder it does whatever is going to be effective for that particular person. Maybe for one person, it brings out the big guns, you know, it's depression or massive self-hate. For someone else, it might be just a slow, you are getting sleepy campaign. No, you got a lot going on in your life right now. Don't worry about it. We'll get back to that later. We really will. And it just quietly lulls us to sleep. But one way or another, it's got to take practice away from us when things are going that well.
Yeah, I think for me it was the self-hate is so obvious. Mm. I can see it now when I distance myself from it a bit, but it's been really tough. It's just almost the point I just didn't want to be here anymore, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up this morning and thought to myself, and this thought came into my head, if I don't change, It was a kind talk. It wasn't meant to be a berating. It was who's gonna have this life? Is it ego or me?
That is such a moment.
So, yeah.
And you know what I just got, Anne? You're calling us in the middle of the night.
I am, yeah. I am.
So that's wow, right?
Yeah.
That's the human drawing a line in the sand. exactly as you said.
Yeah.
We can't go on like this. She can't live that way.
So it's been really tough.
Yeah, just one question similar to what I asked Julian. And have you been around long enough in practice to hear that, again, this cycle of being talked out of practicing for some length of time is not at all uncommon?
Really? No, I've not. I don't believe I've been aware of that.
Very common. What's actually more uncommon is what you did tonight, is to realize it, to wake up at some point and say, wow, that happened. I'm going back. I need that support.
Yeah. And I made some recordings today. It's the first time I've done any recordings. I made recordings today because this feels like just a little step today. I actually felt happy for the first time in 2 years today, a sense of joy and happiness. And I did some recordings around that just to remind myself that this is just the first day of the next stage.
Wow.
And that it's just going to be slow. That not like you were just talking about, no urgency.
Good for you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say, just to keep it in your awareness, is I would project that the voices are going to come at you really strongly.
You're right. I can feel them today. They were coming after me today. And I could hear the self-hate.
Oh, you know it. It's going to be big. Because, you know, it had you, right? So we've got it. Good. Okay, great. We got rid of that practice thing. Woo! That was a close one. And then she went back to it. She woke up and realized what was happening. She made recordings. She's up in the middle of the night calling into the radio show. We have a problem. Right? They're going to be wanting to take her down. So this would be a huge time. You know, this is where we say things like, well, I don't know if you're, you know, check out the schedule. You know, we're doing workshops every weekend. So there's one, a beautiful one coming up that Ashwin is doing this Sunday.
Yeah.
And that isn't in the middle of the night. Luckily enough for folks across the pond. And not too late to hop on with the year-long retreat. Because
is it not too late for that?
It's not too late. Not at all.
Oh, that'd be great. No. That would be great to have that, yeah.
And I'm even prorated for people who are joining at a certain point.
And how do I go about... I just feel like I've forgotten how everything works. How do I go about signing up for it?
Absolutely. So, what I know to do is to send an email to information@livingcompassion.org.
Okay.
And for sure, those folks are all listening to the show anyway, so they'll be prepped and ready for your email. And they'll know how to route it wherever they need to route it. And I'll bet you they can get you on as early as, well, I shouldn't say it, but maybe as early as tomorrow morning. We'll see.
Well, so that's something positive for me to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
because that daily support is going to be so huge, Dan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we got it. You know, it wants to get us off from the herd. That's what it wants to do. The voice has to get us off from the herd, and we have got to get with that Sangha herd. It's our only shot.
Yeah. It felt like I was coming home today when I started practicing.
Mm.
There was nice moments. As well as the screaming voices, there was nice moments. And that's where the recording and listening helps, isn't it? When you can...
It is. It absolutely is. And it is like a coming home. You know, there are all kinds of folks who listen to the radio shows, and we hear someone who we haven't heard, and everyone goes, oh, yay. Someone's come home.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, well, thank you, and thank you so much for modeling that whole process for us of, you know, the voices want to say all kinds of things about, well, you know, this and that, but you just, okay, we're starting new right now. I'm picking up the phone. I'm calling into the radio show. Here we go.
feels pretty good.
Yeah, great. Well, and look forward to hearing you on the Yearlong.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne. Take great care.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Anne. And Jen, the thing that dropped in for me during that conversation was, who's going to have this life? Who's going to have my life? Is it going to be ego, or is it going to be life?
Yeah. That's right.
And that's the essential question in every moment, seems to me.
And it's what Sherry was talking about on the show this morning, that worthy opponent. Because it's not, that voice is not going to give up. I mean, and just, you know, everyone's been talking about it tonight, actually, right? But that place where, wow, you know, I've been doing awareness practice for years now, and I really am enjoying it, and I have so much support, and the voice is just back there, and it is not giving up. It's just watching for an opening. It's just watching for an opening. And then it gets us at whatever level it gets us, and as soon as we realize that, we just say, thank you so much for bringing me back. Whether it's been, I was away for a minute, I was away for a year, I was away for a decade, it doesn't, truly, it doesn't matter. I mean, we talk about, we only have the moment.
Yes.
So once we're back, it's irrelevant how long we were gone. We don't need to have that conversation. There's just a huge thank you. And to realize that voice is going to keep, as Sherry said, is going to keep me on my toes. And that's where I want to be, because that's a synonym for present.
Yeah, on my toes.
Yep.
Fabulous. And Jen, we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. It's Gabriel.
Hey, Gabriel.
Hey, Gabriel.
Another Hi. Nice to hear your voice.
I was going to say that to you. Yeah, it's nice to hear both of your voices. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Whew, I have so many things to say, like usual. first of all, I got on late and I caught the tail end of that conversation, and was dropping in for me as I was hearing. It's like, it's just unbelievable how pernicious and persistent a system that's like in place continues to be. Like we're looking at now in the current events, like systems don't want to collapse. They want to continue.
Yeah.
And I see ego that way. Like
it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? It truly is exactly the same process. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so if I don't go to emotionally reacting to how, I don't know, just evil, bad, wrong, terrible a system is for doing that, and it's just that's what systems do. They don't want to collapse. Then I can lean into the well, that's actually a good thing that systems don't want to collapse, because then that keeps me on my toes and it keeps me present. And I mean, that's a much better way to look at it.
Truly, because the only way that can be and I don't suffer is when I'm present, when I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so simple. But it's not easy.
No, it is not easy. It is not easy.
Yeah, because there's a lot of complexity. So what I was looking at before was a long time ago, and there's nothing wrong with you, you gave me some really awesome, like, information. I was, like, going through cycles of, like, laughing a lot or crying a lot. And you like very sweetly leaned in near my ear and you said, you're all or nothing. And it just stopped me. And I closed my eyes and I saw this image of a, like a balancing weight. What do you call that? The Libra sign? Like I got that.
Yeah, scales on one just, side.
Yeah, scale. Yeah. And like, I remember just cooling down when you said that to me. And
you know, Gabriel, the irony is I missed that piece. That what was said? I missed
Which
what
part
you said.
Did you miss?
I missed the part that you said.
Oh, you said you're all or nothing.
You're all or nothing. Okay.
Yeah, because it was like very true. I was cycling between just like manically laughing, or like just very depressively crying, like in my process. And I've seen that process play in my life in many ways. So like if I'm on an exercise program or a dieting program, like I am excellent at adhering to it. But then when I'm off of it, it just kind of like boop. And I think that's what I'm practicing with. And so now I'm just working with, I know I can adhere to a program for a certain amount of time. But it's one of those things where, like, I probably enter into, like, deprivation, and then I want to indulge.
Yeah. Truly, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and so I've been
as we talk about in practice, you're looking for the middle way.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The razor's edge. Mm-hmm.
Before I forget it, Gabriel, before I forget, this we can go on with the process, but that I project you would really enjoy the workshop coming up on Sunday. So,
I just signed up to this morning.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm sure that will help, but just also outing myself because this has been, or outing the voices, I should say, because that's not myself.
There you go. Good catch.
It's, you know, the thing that I love about staying in touch with Living Compassion is that it's one of the few places where I feel like I'm accountable for the way I word things to myself, or the voices word things to me, and then I can separate, like, if that's coming from my heart or as Michael was saying, from life, or if it's coming from a voice.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful to have that distinction, you know?
It's so powerful. In fact, again, that was a conversation happening on the radio show this morning, the importance of correcting our language. So when people say things like, I beat myself up, or, you know, I'm so hard on myself, or those sorts of things, and correcting that language so that we really can call it like it is. There's a voice in my head that hates me, that wants me to suffer, that is trying to convince me that things are all or nothing. That, you know, I'm either in deprivation or I'm in indulgence, right? So, and it's really helpful to have those distinctions. Yeah.
Yeah, and so in your experience, like, well, I've been experiencing myself. There's just been this whittling down in practice of that tendency to swing so drastically, even with my emotions. Like, I don't want to say anything too controversial, but I feel like I'm. Practice is healing, like, bipolar tendencies, like, for real, like, from the root. And I know that's not, like, mainstream understanding of how it works, but I feel like I'm correcting the imbalance, like, with awareness.
Yep.
Yeah, and so there's very, very few places where you would say that, and people go, they would. Yeah. They would go, he's in denial, he needs medication, this is like a real problem, and all of that stuff.
You know, the extraordinary thing about practice, Gabriel, is that one line. When we pay attention, everything enlightens. Well, maybe two or three. Because the other one that goes with it for me is how Sherry's always reminding us there are no mistakes. So we just keep paying attention. And we keep paying attention, and we keep paying attention, and with everything that happens, I mean, so Anne, how much did she get to see in the last 24 hours, right? And how much is she going to get to continue to see as she picks her formal practice back up? There aren't any mistakes. We see so much from everything, so we just keep paying attention. And we see things like, wow, you know what? I don't know what the quote experts would say or what anyone else would say, but my experience is, as I practice awareness, those really high swings from high to low are evening out. That's my experience.
Yeah. And, like, to go with the there's no mistakes, I mostly identify with Enneagram 4, and my, like, redemption kind of path is equanimity, like, finding that. And just, I don't know, just bumping into that framework and seeing it laid out so precisely is just so helpful.
It is. Yeah.
And you know, go ahead. Sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, I thought the quote you were going to say was, nothing holds under scrutiny. And, like, that's what I found to be true.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Nothing holds up under scrutiny. And, you know, I project a piece of what you're saying with that, the framework is so helpful, is that, so if you take something like the Enneagram, and you realize, so I, you know, identify as a four, and so you read the four things, and then it's like, oh, wow, all these things that I thought were so personal to me, and so on one side or the other, right, so special about me, or so deeply flawed about me, we find out, oh, wow, you know, a whole lot of other people share the exact same orientation, which can really assist to not taking it personally, to taking that step back from disidentifying from it.
Yeah, well, I think that the heart and life likes loves realizing that because it liberates it, but I think ego can no longer maintain its separation. And going back to what I was saying before, you know, the system doesn't want to collapse. Even if it's unjust, unfair, cruel, mean, hateful, whatever, it wants to continue to operate. And the way that it does that is by creating this terminally unique sense of only I go through this. And so I don't want to be dramatic, but it feels like it is a battle between, like, life and ego. Like we say, it's a worthy opponent. And I just know from the depths of my gut that, like, life is and love and truth is so much more powerful than ego that, like, the ego does not stand a chance, you know? And I feel like when I was younger, I felt like the ego was so strong and that I had no chance. But, like, what I'm seeing when I keep going to the cushion, meditating, practicing, is that, like, over and over and over again, life always kind of ends up just being just magnificent. I don't know. Like, it always wins. I don't know. It not wins because life's not in this, like, lose-win paradigm, but I don't know how to explain
that's
it. It's just
that's why it wins, because it's not playing that game, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Life is, and ego is an illusion.
Yeah.
Well, there's no
problem. And, yeah. I just love that, you know, with this pandemic stuff, you know, slowing down, I feel like I used to know that intellectually, but now because everything's slowed down and the structure of my life is supporting practice a little bit more because I'm less busy and crazy, like, I feel like when you say life is, like, that doesn't just sound like a platitude anymore, that, like, yeah, I know that. Like, I feel like, is this a word? Like, I grok that, like, with my gut. Like, it's so real to me.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll see you Sunday.
Excellent. I can't wait to see you on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm really excited. Thank you to Ashwini for doing this, and thank you the Sangha for offering it even free of charge, because, you know, I know a lot of us are strapped for cash these days, so.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is so not a reason for us not to all be together in all these ways. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Well, thanks for your participation, Gabriel. Great to hear from you.
Thank you. Great to hear your voice. It's been a while. Oh, Jen, before I let you go, do we have any intel on there's nothing wrong with you in North Carolina? Because I'm really interested in coming. And do we know if that's happening or...
I think, you know, it's just everything's on those scales that you were pointing at earlier, right? It's
okay.
Just all
I missed what you said.
That I think it's all up in the air at this point.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I think there are just so many factors. Boy, it's a time for us all to practice letting go, not knowing, you know, being who. Yeah, we don't know, I think, at this point.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening for other people, but it's like just like there's so much soil. I just, like, my practice has, like, lit a blaze. Like, I feel so much more present now. than I ever have in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, well, thank you, John.
Thanks, Gabriel. Take care.
Good night, Michael. Good night. Bye.
Good night, Gabriel.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Gabriel. And Jen, we've reached the top of the hour, and I don't know how I got so lucky to be here with all these fabulous people, and thank you for being a part of that.
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah, such a great sangha, great practice, great folks. Thanks for being there.
Yeah, and go happy, and don't forget to treasure yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Jen. Good night.